Well, guys, we pray that God would make us holy. Sanctification. Sanctification. That is the process of us becoming holy. That is the process of us becoming more like Jesus. Another word that they like to use in seminaries is justification. Now, when we come to God and we give our lives to God, God justifies us. Some people say justification, just as if it never happened. In other words, God remembers our sin no more and we are brought to Him. But the problem is, a lot of us, we sit back at that point and say, God, you're in charge. I'll do whatever I want and I know you're just going to justify me from here on out. We forget about the other word, sanctification, becoming holy, becoming God's people. We have to aggressively, listen to me, we have to aggressively pursue holiness in this life. That's how we work out our salvation. In fact, this is what it says in Philippians. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, this is Paul talking, not only while I'm here, not only while we're gathered here, but much more in my absence. When you're at work, when you're at home, when you're out shopping, when you're on the interstate and the person cuts you off, right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you see that? It's a struggle. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. In other words, God justifies us, but we're not sanctified yet. Sanctification is an ongoing process where we are becoming more holy. I mean, how many times have we given our life to Christ and we think, man, what a great moment. What a great moment. Then we go out the next morning and we commit some kind of sin. We told a lie. Yeah, honey, you look good in that dress. You know, we do something, right? And immediately we feel the conviction in our heart that maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have acted this way. Maybe I should have done something different. That is our process of working out our salvation. We know that we are not saved by anything we can do. God has already saved us. God has already justified us, but we have to work out our salvation, our sanctification on being holy. We have to be mature in our faith. We have to make advances in this. It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, I grew up my whole life doing whatever I want. I still pretty much do whatever Margie tells me to do, but I still find myself in situations where my flesh just rised up right there. And then I'm glad I don't have a 3-point Bible sticker on the back of my car, you know? Someone say, aren't you the pastor of that church? No, I have a twin brother that looks just like me. You need to go see him on Sunday morning. How important is sanctification? Is it just for those Christians? Is it like a merit badge that we get the next level? You know, it's almost like, okay, God has sealed me in the Holy Spirit. I am His. He is mine. We're there together, but I don't want anything else. Don't give me that Holy Spirit. I don't want to be speaking in tongues. I don't want to be dancing. I don't want to be weird, God. That's only for those spiritual elite. No, it's not. God has given us a helper. God has given us tools. God has given us His word. God has given us ways for us to grow in our faith. And it's not like you're going to get a merit badge and check off a list saying, yeah, I got that one, I got that one, I got that one. No, it is an ongoing process. And every day you'll take 2 steps forward and 1 step back. You ever feel like that? 2 steps forward and 1 step. Sometimes it's 1 step forward and 2 steps back. I find myself there a lot. First Timothy chapter 4, he says this, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds a promise for this life and the life to come. And then he tells us in chapter 6 of the same letter, 1 Timothy, he says, but godliness with contentment, being content, is great gain. In other words, we're not there yet. It takes us a while to get there. I find myself, you know, I think like, you know, Margie would go, Paul, are you content? I said, well, yeah, things are going well. She goes, no, Paul, are you content? And in the moment, I'll say, yeah, I'm content. And then that's when she tells me the stuff on my calendar. Paul, don't forget, my family's coming in here. You got to be at the airport this time. And all of a sudden, I feel that flesh rise up. And I'm like, just wait a minute. Again, 1 step forward, 2 steps back. It's working out. It's a process every single day. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this, strive for peace with everyone, and for it is the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See, we focus on that first part. You know, just strive for peace with everyone. Well, we know it's going to be a struggle to try to get along with everyone, right? But listen what he says. Without that, no one will see the Lord. Yikes. Yikes. Words used to describe sanctification, that's the $100 word, are words that we would use as godliness, holiness, even righteousness. We understand those words. The writer of Hebrews tells us that without holiness, what? No one will see the Lord. It's an active process. God saves us. He does all the work to justify us. We have no part to play in that because we are dead spiritually. He brings us back to life. We cannot do anything. God does it all. But once he justifies us, he declares us righteous in Christ. He says, you have been forgiven. You are my child. You used to not be my people. Now you are my people. You used to not have a name. Now you have a name. You used to not have mercy. Now you have mercy. You are sealed in the Spirit. You are in my hand. No one's going to take you from my hand. Then that's when we begin our work. And gaining ground in holiness is a partnership with us and with God. And it's going to, my working out my righteousness is going to be different than you working out your righteousness. We all struggle in different areas. And so as we come together, we have to work and work and work. And Paul says we strive for it. We wrestle with it. That's the good news. Now go and sin no more. Let's see. Let's break it down. And let's just look. Because today I want to talk about flee. I want to talk about follow. And I want to talk about fight. Okay, the first thing, let's go to the verse, and I am in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. This is the end of the letter that Paul is writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy is a young pastor, and he's going in, and Paul is writing him this encouragement, and this is what he says. He goes, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Remember when we stood up and made a public confession to Christ, we just like a marriage vow, we made this in front of people and we said, yes, Christ is mine and we are baptized in his name. And then he says this, I charge you, the presence of God who gives to all things and of Christ Jesus, who is the testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign. You ever, Paul has these run-on sentences that go on for days, all right? He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And I'll tell you why. It's because he's so excited about what God is doing in his life, what Christ is doing in his life, he can't hold back. In other words, I'm just going to keep going on. He's this unimaginable person we've never seen, but we know he's there. He's this light. He's goodness. He's grace. He's mercy. He's forgiving. He's all of these things, and we just keep going on and on. The word in the Old Testament was nabi, and that's what they called the prophet, and it meant to bubble up, and it meant to bubble up from the bowels. In other words, not like gas. It's in me, and it's got to come out. Are we that excited about what God is doing in our lives? See, godliness, if we look at that passage, is an active part of salvation. And Paul appropriately uses three verbs in there. And so I'm going to break them down for you. The first one is flee. Flee from sin. Verse 11, he says this, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Now, right before that, what things is he talking about? He's talking about people that are rich, people that have all these things, the love of money. He's talking about things of this world that tempt us. He's talking about we fight the world in three different ways. We fight our flesh. What is it in our flesh that we are wrestling with? Because Paul is saying, flee these things. What is it in the world that is going on? We need to flee these things. And of course, our real enemy, the devil, he says, what is that going on in our life? We need to flee these things. See, we live in a time where we want to get as close to the line as we can without stepping over, you know? Now, I'm just lusting a little bit. Just a little bit, because I don't want to cross that line. See, we get too close. You know that infidelity? No, you know, it's okay. We're just kind of flirting. You know, and no, we're not hurting anybody. We want to get close to the line, not close enough. You know, here come my taxes. Jesus said to pay Caesar what's his, and Caesar right now is coming asking for everything, right? But if I just fudge a little bit here, fudge a little bit there, see, I'm just getting close to the line. But I'm not going to cross that line. Paul is saying, don't even look at the line. Paul is saying, you see that line? Turn the other way and flee. He tells us when Satan comes, he says, if you are his and you, the prayer, and you start to pray, Satan will flee from you. Satan doesn't see how close he can get to you when you are praying. He flees, and that's the same thing that we're supposed to do. In other words, unrighteousness, unholiness, all of these things that the world is saying to do, we don't even need to be looking, you know. There are some people, I know some pastors that say, like, throw your TV out. And they're on this big kick, get rid of the TV, you know. And actually, this started back when TVs first came out. When TVs first came out, there were pastors going like, oh, it's of the devil. We thought, no, you get the news, we saw the man walk on the moon, we see all these things, but you turn on the TV now, what do you see? Sex, homosexuality, you see unrighteousness, you see lying, you see infidelity, you see stealing, you see murder, you see all of these things, and not only are we watching this, we become immune to it. It's almost like you cannot watch a show without someone dropping the F-bomb or doing something in there. And we become so used to it that sometimes it just flies past us. And God is saying, flee from that. Now, I'm not telling you to go throw your TV out. I'm telling you, do what you have to do to flee from whatever temptation is holding you back. Flee. Have I talked about flee enough? Can I move on, or do y'all need some more flee? All right, we'll flee from flee. Paul tells him that the first step in growing in holiness is to run away, to escape, flee from sinful things. He says, these things that you have in mind, the sin of false teachers that they were engaged in, have become this broad perspective, and that's the world we live in today. Again, we fight against our own flesh. You know, when something comes up and you start to think like, man, that may not be too bad, it's too bad. If you have to think, I wonder if, no, flee. Do I always flee? No. I'm one of the ones probably it gets as close to the line and then says, no, I shouldn't be there. Okay, well, no. One step forward, two steps back. Flee. It says this in 1 Timothy verses 9 and 10, chapter 6. This is what he was talking about. But those who desire to be rich, they fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, he's talking about money, but you can put anything in there that's tempting you. It's like, I had the opportunity to go hunting with my son-in-law. And you guys know me. I'm not patient. You know, when I go fishing, I'll say, yeah, I'm going to go fishing for a while. I'll throw the line and reel it in, and if I didn't catch anything, I'm done, you know? What do you mean fishing? This is just wasting time to me. Hunting's the same way, except you get up really, really early in the morning, and you go sit in a tree stand and freeze. I didn't see anything. Saw a bunch of turkeys, but they were the jennies. Do you know what you call a bunch of turkeys, by the way? A rafter. Isn't that crazy? A rafter of turkeys. But anyway, that's the rabbit hole. The point is, I didn't see anything, right? Freezing. We went back, sat around the fire. It warmed up during the day. Afternoon, Brett comes down, right? we go, he says, I want to hunt with Papa. I'm like, okay, well, I'll tell you what, if we see something, you can shoot it. And I'm sitting there laughing. 15 minutes in, he nails a deer. So when I got down off of the stand and I picked him up where I kicked him out of the stand, but for me, here's the thing. When you watch a deer come in and you see the deer will stop, the deer will look up, deer, and if the deer smells you or senses something, what does the deer do? It flees. It senses danger and flees. We, when we sense danger, we need to what? When we sense danger, we need to what? When we sense danger, we need to flee. Right, okay, now I can leave, flee. The second thing, Paul says, pursue sanctification. But since that didn't start with an F and I needed an F, I'm going to say follow after, okay? We're going to follow after these things. Pursue sanctification. This is what he says in verse 11. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. In other words, if you flee from these things, run to these things. Follow after these things. The Christian life is not just, we spend our time just running away in fear. Oh, I don't want to get anywhere near that. No, go after something. Pursue something. Follow after something. Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, because that is Jesus. That is Jesus. We have to actively pursue these things. Righteousness, let's break them down. Righteousness, obedience to God's moral law. We use God's moral law as a plumb line. In other words, God said it, so this is what we measure ourselves by. Not by what Billy Graham said, not by what Joel Osteen said, not by what Oprah Winfrey said. There's no plumb line there. The plumb line is God's holy word. Do you get that? Righteousness, obedience to God. James writes it this way, chapter 1 of James. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself, goes away, and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. In other words, we are to work out to pursue righteousness, to act right. You ever had a teacher tell you to act right? Your mama tell you to act right? So pursue righteousness. What else are we going to follow? Godliness. Godliness. That's literally being conformed to the image of God and his character. We sing that, you know, God, transform me, you know. Conform me to your will, to your mind, all of these things. Godliness, righteousness, faith. Faith is we pursue absolute trust in God's promises. And that one's hard for me sometimes. I'll even pray, God, this is going on in my life and I need some help. But until I think from you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep doing this and see if it works out. And if it works out, fine, hey, we're good. If it doesn't work out, it's your fault. It's like, what? What? Faith. Have faith. Take that step in God. Take that step in Christ. Righteousness, godliness, faith, and then love. Here we have to use the biblical definition of love and not what our world says when we talk about love, right? Love is an action word, and whereby Jesus said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. In other words, everything that's in you, your actions, your words, everything, love God. Then he says the second is just like it. We're supposed to love who? Our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, love others. Seek the good of others. Work hard to care for others. See, when we think about love, we think about what it's going to do to me. I want to be filled with love. I want to be filled with love. Well, if you want to be filled with love, you got to give it away. Love isn't something till it's given away. There's a song. Do y'all know that song? Just like a magic penny, if you hold it tight, you don't have any. But if you give it away, you end up getting more. I don't know how, but you get more. Love. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness. What is steadfastness? You could change that to the word perseverance. We actively pursue this. We remain a Christian, even if all the others walk away from Christ. We have to be like Job. When hell is breaking all around us, when we can't find anything good, we hold on. We hold on. This is what he says in James. He says, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." I asked you last week, I said, how many of you have ever experienced an answer from God? And everybody raised their hand. And the people that didn't raise their hand, you guys are just shy, because I know you have prayed for something or you've seen God move in your life. Okay? Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. We've all seen God move in our lives, but we act like he doesn't. We still whine and complain, and we fight against the same things, knowing that God is there, God will answer, God is in control, but we act like he isn't. Here he is saying, we see the purpose of the Lord. We have seen it. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is forgiving. The Lord is love. And so we hold on steadfastly. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness. And the last one, gentleness. It takes work to respond with gentleness, doesn't it? These are traits that we have to actively pursue. You know how I know it's hard to act with gentleness? I came back last night from hunting, actually sitting in a stand and freezing. I came back chilled to the bone. I guess it's my age now. I'm one of those old men that has to wear a sweater everywhere now. Hey, you know, it's kind of, what are you laughing at, Edwin? I know, no, we're all there, but I came back, I was tired, I was worn out, because I stopped at my wife's home, and I had to take a deer in, you know, for breck to get it processed. I mean, so I had this whole plate of stuff. I got home, and my girls were there, and by my girls, I mean my chickens, and I went out, and I fed them some mealy bugs and stuff, and we were hanging out, and me and Margie got to hang out, and then Philip came home, and Philip ran over a nail, and so I helped him plug his tire and everything, and all I wanted to do was just sit. And I was so tired, I almost didn't even eat. I was just so worn out, because when you go camping with Shane, you're sleeping in a trailer with bugs and everything else. So all night long, you're like, what was that? What was that? It just walked across me. Well, you know. Anyway, so you see, I'm not really a outdoorsy guy for the most part, okay? So anyway, I come home, and I'm worn out, and I'm tired. And then my son looks at me, and he goes, you know, Dad, I've worked. And he does. He's at work. He's up at 6, and he's at work by 6:30, and he gets home about 6 o'clock every night. And then he worked yesterday, and he came in, and he said, Dad, I'm going to lay out tomorrow. And I did not respond with gentleness. The flesh kind of rise up, but you see, he's not here. And I've got to get to the hospital and check on him. No, and Margie goes, you know, he's probably tired. And I'm like, you don't think I'm tired? You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, Paul, what the heck? Be gentle. So I went in there and said, Philip, I forgive you for not being gentleness. How do we respond in gentleness? We're not that way because we are selfish. We're self-centered. You know, it kills me when people say, hey, let's just give peace a chance. Why can't we all get along? Because we can't. Because what you want offends what I want, and we're going to come to fisticuffs over it. We live in a time where everybody wants what they want. They're not concerned about anybody else but themselves. And so it's hard to respond in gentleness. You know, I've learned, I was listening to another pastor, Mark Comer. He's out of Portland. And he said, you know, one of the things he's done, besides throw his TV out, he said, slow down. Because when you slow down, you can hear from God. He said, try this, just drive the speed limit. So I did. I drove the speed limit yesterday, and you wouldn't believe the people that would get on my tail, people would pass me, and they were looking at me, and I'm like, I'm doing the speed limit? Because we're selfish and self-centered, and my way is the right way. Gentleness. So get your picture in your mind. We're fleeing from sin. We're following after holiness, and that's all of those things. But the last F is to fight for faith. You may not want to hear this as a church, and I've had to wrestle with this. We've been doing church for so long that we started doing it on auto cruise. I really believe that. And we come in here, and I'm not talking about just 3 Point. I'm talking about the church. We come in here and we complain, oh, this generation, we've lost this. You know why we've lost a whole generation? Because we just sit here and keep our mouth shut. Oh, we'll come in here and complain about everything. But out there, we won't preach the name of Jesus. We won't spend time with people. We won't pray with people. All they see is a bunch of people that come in here and talk bad about people out there, and they don't want to be a part of that. And yet, Paul is saying here, you have to fight for your faith. We're in a time that is post-church. We live in a time that's post-church. Most people won't go to church anymore. They don't see a need for church. The only time they bring up God is when something bad happens in their lives, and then they use that to justify their position that I don't want to serve a God that would let this happen. Well, you weren't serving him before. What do you think's going to happen? You weren't serving him. You don't want anything to do with him. Do you think he's listening to your prayers? No. The Bible says no. It's the prayers of a righteous man avail much. And that's part of our fight. This is what he says in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. And I'm going to tell you, our flesh will rise up in us and will convince you that you need this when you don't. I don't need those peanut butter cookies I always eat. I like them. The problem is, I think the serving size says 2 cookies. I'm like, for who? Some little short guy? Like two of the sleeves, maybe. The problem is my flesh won't let me just kind of stop at one. It's like, what is those Pringles? Bet you can't eat just one. Can, you know? We wrestle against our own self, but we wrestle against the world. The world telling us we should live this way, we should allow this, we should agree with this, we should blah, 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 blah. We need to fight the good fight of faith. And the last thing is we fight against principalities, not of this world. I tell you, our accuser is real. Our enemy is real. You know, about the time you think you've got it figured out, he's going to come in there and he's going to throw those darts. And those darts are going to start stinging until you start to cave in. We are in a war. It's a war against the flesh. It's a war against indwelling sin. It's a war against the world and its hostility towards God. It's a war against Satan and all of his host. And it means you and I need to put on the whole armor of God. And I'm going to read that to you in Ephesians. It says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I mean, think about that. We think, oh, I could put that out today in the newspaper and people think like I'm a genius. Paul, you hit the nail on the head. This is exactly what's going on today. Because they didn't know the same thing was going on 2,000 years ago. That's how Satan just gets in there and starts to irritate a little bit. Then verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Where are you going to get the truth? Who's our plumb line? It's God. It's Jesus. And it's in his word. That's our plumb line. That's the belt of truth. Not this relational truth that the world tells you. Okay? Stand therefore fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why do you want to put a breastplate of righteousness on? Because it covers your heart. And nothing is more deceiving than our heart. If we take that breastplate off, then our heart is going to be affected by the things of this world. So put on that breastplate of righteousness. Pursue and follow after righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. See, Paul even says he's going to keep throwing. He's going to keep shooting until you give in or give up. And he's saying, no, put on that shield of faith. Hang in there, be steadfast. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, the helmet of salvation, you put that on and you realize whose you are. You take it off and you begin to doubt. You begin to think weird things, and our brain tells our heart, and our heart tells our brain all these kind of crazy things. You put on the helmet of salvation and you know whose you are. And then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints. We need to be praying for each other, because there are people in here. There are people out there. There are people in our homes. There are people in our businesses that are going through things, and you need to be praying them up. You need to be praying them up. Specifically, in all of this, we are called to fight for faith. I don't know about you, but I've met with several different people along the way, and for whatever reason, and it's usually under some kind of severe trial, they almost lose their sense of faith. Have you ever felt that sometimes? You've been so low, you've been in that valley, you think, like, God, I don't even know anymore. I don't even know anymore. Jesus says this to Peter in Luke. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Did you see that? He's saying, you know what, Peter, Satan has called you, but I'm not going to pray you out of that. I'm going to pray for you while you're going into that. I'm going to pray that your faith would not fail. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but to be of good cheer, because he's overcome the world. You're going to feel the pull. You're going to feel the sting. You're going to feel those darts. You're going to feel all of these temptations. You're going to feel these things. But Jesus is praying right now for you, interceding at the right hand of God. He is praying for you even now. Not to get us out of this, but to keep us strong while we're in it. Because when we get to the other side, what happens is all of the dross, all of the imperfections, all of the unholiness, unrighteousness will be gone from us, and we will be holy just as he is holy. So how has this word sanctification, how has it changed and about how you're going to pursue it now? Or does it even make any difference? What changes do we make in our life in order to better seek holiness in our lives? Are there areas in our lives where we need God's forgiveness? Or we need to maybe ask forgiveness for our lack of spiritual growth? That's our homework this week. As we go out and we celebrate Thanksgiving, let's remember, it's not just thankful for a great country. It's not just thankful for all the food that we have. It's not thankful, Margie, that all your family's coming in. I love your family. But it's thankful that we serve a God that loves us, that we serve a God that has given us everything and continues to pour out his love, his mercy, and his grace on each of us. And so what are you going to do with that? Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that this morning those of us at Three Point would take a very active role in seeking our personal holiness. Father, I pray that you will continue to pour out your mercy and grace, and that we would be more and more like Jesus each day. Father, I pray that you would give us the strength to remain steadfast, that we would hold on, that we would fight the good fight, that we would follow after righteousness and holiness, and Father, that we would flee from the things that are calling our name. Father, I thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this opportunity to come in to gird ourselves with your very word. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.